Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 14. We kind of looked at this thing of being salt. You get down to verse number 14, it says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." I want to tell you something. If we're the light of the world, it sure ain't the United Nations. That's why you never want to discount the church. The older I get, the more I comprehend, I hope, what Christ has in the way of the church. God's going to work through His church. Not going to work through the Lions Club. Ain't going to work through the Mooses and the Elks and all that. He's going to work through the church. And if you're going to be used of God in a work for the Lord, God will do it in you through the church. Christ died for the church. He is coming after the church. And the church is the light of the world. Now, church is made up of individual believers. But a church is an assembly of believers. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." That being the case, and that we are the light of the world, well, we got a responsibility on our shoulders. And yet, when we're going to look at the message this morning, I hope you'll see some things that will be a blessing to you. It said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are" where? "In the house." Underline that in your Bible. Light in the house. Light in the house. I like light. Amen. I remember one time there's a lady used to, Mrs. Audrey Peck, and I thought a lot of Audrey. She used to have a service station down here in town, the Peck service station. When I was a kid, that's where you got gas there and had all oil and so forth. And I never will forget Audrey was a lady. And she was a businesswoman. Her husband, her name was C.O. or something. Anyway, he had passed away. Audrey always, she dressed nice. She ran a service station, and by the way, she wore a dress. Now listen to me, she wore a dress and run a service station. All right? So I'm trying to be mean, just get a hold of something here. And I never will forget what, because I was always kind of interested in things, and she talked to me one day, and she was very kind to me, and we got talking about business, and she got talking to ask me what I wanted to do and so forth, and I never will forget, I told her one time, I said, "Well, I wouldn't mind having a hardware store." I don't know why I thought that at that time. I just did. And she told me this. I never will forget. She pointed to a place across the street from her business. And she said to me, "Reggie, right there would be a real good place for a hardware store and a restaurant." Now, she said, "I want to tell you something about business." She said, "If you ever run a business," she said, "you make sure there's plenty of light in it." She said, "Dark businesses are for bars." She said, "You put light." And she said, "Make sure there's plenty of light." She said, "People will do more business with you if you're in a lighted place. People will be more cheerful if you're in a lighted place." And I'll tell you something. I've been to there's a place of business in Springfield that I've been to many times, and hadn't been there in a long time recently, and I was up there, and I noticed they've got it dark in there now, and I hate it. I don't want to go in there. And I like light. I like plenty of lights. Y'all know there's several lights here. We have to have several because half of them's out half the time. But I like light, amen. And I like in our house, I want the lights on. And you know, when it's time to go to bed, it's all right to be dark. But I like light. And the Bible said that you are light, that if you put that light on the candlestick, and it says it'll give light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now that's what this is all about. The light shining is to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm going to be preaching, I don't know for how long, but maybe two or three, four messages on letting our light shine before men so that our Heavenly Father can be glorified through our lives. And I think it's an awful big subject, a lot bigger than I can get a hold of in one service, but I want to just hit on the idea of light in our own homes, light in our own marriages, light being light in our own lives. And I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 6 today, and I'm telling you something, this a bit, and I hope that now, ladies, I'm going to ask you, please, I'll ask all the wives and the mothers and the young ladies, please help me preach today. I need a little help because I understand the one side of it better than I do your side. And I want you just to kind of help me today and think about it. If you've got thoughts about it, well, don't hesitate to share with me, but down the, maybe before church tonight or something like that, ways that you can be a part of this thing and are a part of it. And I'm going to show you something the Bible has said. So this is a tremendous thing about marriage. Well, if you're interested in having a sweeter marriage, better marriage, more godly, more long-lasting, effective marriage. Les McAllister, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Hope, how you doing? Boy, it's good to see you. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. And listen, if you get tired or something goes wrong, you just need some help, you just flag your hand or do what you need to do. You ain't going to bother me, okay? And but let's look at this verse number 23 in Proverbs 6. Does everybody there say amen? Now, if you can't get there, now, ladies, I really do need your help. Now, I'll tell you something. Ladies have their work cut out for them. Us guys sit in church and we act spiritual while our wives are taking care of the babies. Ain't that right? I mean, we're sitting around saying amen and acting, you know, acting spiritual, and our wife has got to change the diaper, feed the baby, take care of everything, you know, and she's been up half the night, she's supposed to act like she's all spiritual, you know, and we need to help our wives a little bit, all right? So, guys, I'm going to encourage you, hold the baby right now, would you, for your wife? No. Just want to encourage you a little bit here, because a lot of times it's a little bit more going on than what you realize. Verse number 20 says this, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Now, underline father's commandment. And then it says, forsake not the law of thy mother. Now watch this. You've got a father's commandment and you've got a mother's law. And he says for the son not to forsake it. He said, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now watch this. Here's his same context, verse 23. For the commandment. Now who had the commandment? The father. Is a what? Lamp. And the law is the what? Is who's the law? The mother. And she's the what? She's the light. Now I brought with me today a kerosene lamp. Now this is not like they had in the Bible days. And you know, we really need to get back to scripture, and it'd be good for you to study things out, because we're in a day of flipping a switch. We're in a day, but boy, there's so many beautiful analogies. Now God says that a father is the lamp. And God's, His commandments are the lamp, and the mother's law is the light. Now I'm going to tell you honestly, this lamp without a light ain't much good. Most of them nowadays sitting around for decorations, and I think that's about all us men have become good for in America, is just a spiritual decoration at our house. And our wives cannot be light without a lamp. And God says that children, now watch this. Now, first of all, God said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Can I tell you something just plain off the cuff? Forget about being a light to this world, to your light in your own home. Forget about being a light to anybody else and to your light in your own marriage. Forget about being a light to anybody else, to your light to your own spouse. And I just want to encourage you today. I'm not here to beat nobody over the head. I'm here today to encourage you, maybe show you something scripture, be a blessing to you. Because in my heart, ever since I've known this several years ago, I've said, Lord, help me to be the lamp so that Karen can be a light. And I'll get into this in just a minute, but there are several things about it. I'll leave the other one unlit there for a minute if I don't drop something. It says here that the husband or the father, he's to give the commandment. And the mother is to give the law, and he gives the illustration that the father is the lamp, and the mother is the light. And you need both of them. And actually, if a light, you can't have the light without the lamp. You can't have the lamp without, I mean, the lamp's no good if you don't have the light. I'd like for the guys to turn the lights off. Would you guys just flip the lights off? Can you do this? Shut them all down if you can. You never think about that you couldn't even read your Bible right now, hardly could you, if you didn't have light. You realize how valuable light is to you. I could have asked you all just to shut your eyes and so forth. You ever thought about what a blessing it is to have eyes to see? And do you ever think about what a blessing it is to have spiritual eyes to comprehend the spiritual truths of the Word of God? So many people can see physically, but they cannot see spiritually. They read their Bibles and they don't get anything out of it. It's just a duty to them, but they don't see anything in there. They don't get any light. And I want you to turn them back on now if you don't care. I appreciate it, guys, just as an illustration there. But that even though there's the potential for knowing God's Word, knowing it's available, but without light, you and I can't comprehend it. And it's the same way with Christ and the Holy Spirit. We cannot perceive spiritual truth. Even if you have a Bible and read your Bible, you cannot comprehend spiritual truth without the light of God working through your heart and your life. The text says to a young person, And you kids, I want to tell you this. Boy, get a hold of this. That you're to keep your father's commandment. That's your lamp. You're to not forsake your mother's law. That's your light. So we have the commandment as a lamp, the law as a light. I want to draw out to you what the old Bible days lamps used to look like. They were not like the lamp I have right there. A Bible days lamp looked something like this right here. It kind of had a dish form, and it, this side here, and the wick would come out like this, and then the flame would be about that, and it, a lot of times would have a handle like that. And the oil would be down in here, and the wick would lay down inside here, and then the lamp, and you could pick it up, and you could carry it like this, kind of like in your hand. And if a mother got up during the night to check on her children, she would take that lamp and that light, and she'd go check on her children. And so, just as Christians are to be light of the world, that light begins in our homes. And I want to preach, you know, we watched the movie last Sunday night of Courageous, and I think it's a great film. I think a lot of great truths included in that film and aspects, especially in, you know, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And this nation is getting dark. It's getting really, really dark. And it's, if there's ever a time when we need to let our light shine, it's right now. One of the greatest ways for Christian to give light to a world is with their children and with their family. The Bible even says about a preacher that he's not qualified to pastor a church unless he has his own household under subjection. And talks about his wife, talks about his children. Why does God put that out for a preacher? Because that preacher has got to be light. Now you listen to me, you may not like this, but a preacher's home has got to be in order. And if his marriage is not, if his personal life's not right, his marriage is not right, his children's not right, what it does, it sends this smoky bunch of mug, this cloud, this fog out to people rather than light. And when they don't have light, they don't know how to walk. They can't, they're not going to make it through. Now, it's an area of real test if we cannot lighten up our own homes. And I want to say this to you, ought not the home be a bright place, a place of joy? I want to thank my wife for making our home a bright home. Honey, you have just, I mean, the older I get, the more I realize how blessed I am to have a wife who's got light in her soul. A wife who smiled and laughed and loved and gave that light to her children. And I've kind of been an old banged up lamp, but boy, she's been light. And here's the interesting thing. Ladies, let me give you a little encouragement. You got an old banged up lamp, you can be a nice pure light even out of an old rough lamp. Amen. And our text gives this analogy and helps us to see the responsibility of a father being the lamp, giving the commands, a mother being the light, executing the law. The father giving the commands speaks of the general tone of the home. You know, I never did. I have a great big list from the ceiling to the floor. Now, kids, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know what? I wanted a spirit in our home that there was, this kind of, they understood intuitively that ain't going to fly and this will fly. There's a spirit that ought to be in the home, and that father is provide that spirit, that general instructions, that practical daily conduct and behavior in the home. And then the mother as a light is to fill out the details of that general instruction that the father wanted. And so the father's aspect is general. The mother's aspect is specific. And so the directions, well, you say, Reggie, wait a minute, instruction and direction. It's light for the way and it's wisdom to live by. Light, it directs young people in their youth. It guides them in adulthood. The Bible said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, if you don't have light, how are you going to walk in it? And so, first of all, I want to look at how does the lamp picture a father? How does this lamp picture a father? Because the Bible says that it does. Now, I don't have the best one, but if you'd had one of these are made out of clay. Made out of clay. What a father is to see, first of all, that he's clay. He's made out of clay. This, even though this is glass, it can be broke. Fathers, listen to me. We are but clay. We are easily breakable. Don't ever think you're so tough, so stout, that you can't bust and break. We're just clay at our best. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And we want God to shape this lamp in the way He wants it shaped, and to yield ourselves unto Him and be shaped by Him. And that means this, that as fathers, we need to be agreeable and accepting to the design that God made us. I'm not Don Zinn and Don Zinn's not me. I'm not Zach and Zach is not me. Every man is designed specifically as God designed him to be. And we are clay in the potter's hands. And you need to accept yourself for who you are. You need to accept yourself how God made you. You need to accept the place in life that God has given you. And be the lamp that God made you to be. We may not be, you know, good looking. We may not be intellectual. I don't know. We may not be all things the world wants us to be. But if we can be a lamp that a light can shine through, that's what God wants us to be. A lamp is made of clay. God help us to know that we're made of clay, that we can remember our frailty. By the way, remember our spiritual frailty. That even though we're to be a lamp and hold the light, we can mess up. And we're going to go back to the dust and we're just made out of clay. Now listen, there's something we need to think about this. We ought not weaken our bodies by doing things to the clay that ought not be done to it. You didn't take that picture. Let me tell you, these were some of the most valued pieces of stuff in the house in Bible days. You didn't mess with the lamp. You didn't drop it. You didn't break it. You didn't hit it. You didn't abuse it. Men, we ought not abuse our bodies. We ought not abuse our minds and our spirit and our soul. We ought to take care of it. Our wives need us. Our children need us. God needs us. We ought to take care of our bodies. The Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The oil. And God wants us to take care of it so we can be fit. The Bible said, you that bear the vessels of the Lord, be ye clean. There's been many a wife whose light has went out when the lamp, her husband, was broken and damaged by sin. Listen to me. This is serious business. I want to ask you ladies something this morning. How good is the light in your heart today? Is the light of God shining in your heart? Is it in your eyes? Is it in your heart? Is it in your spirit? Now, I'm not out here to play a blame game, but this is just about, and I think my kids would agree to this, that I can damage my wife's light so fast it's not even funny. And when I damage my own spiritual walk with God, and when I go off the deep end and I do something stupid, or I start being ignorant, I start letting my clay get damaged and being damaged spiritually, I'm telling you, it will affect the light in that woman's eyes. But if I'm walking with God, and I'm living for God, and I'm doing right, and I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm not doing stupid stuff, and I'm being the man that I ought to be in our house, it makes her light brighter. I can see it. The truth about it is, I'm just being as real as I know how to be with you today, that us men are affecting the light in our wives' lives more than we ever recognize. Everything can about go wrong, but if we'll be strong and stand right and be godly and do right, it just seems like that oil is able to flow through the life of our wife and she shines brighter even in tough times. But when us men damage our lives by sin, it affects the light that's in our own wives. And when that light is affected, our children cannot see the right way to go because she is the light, the Bible says. How many of you have you ever noticed this? You can ask 1,000 soldiers who's their greatest spiritual influence. You know what they'll say? Their mother. It's because the Bible intended for it to be so in a child's life that the mother is the light. And so, fellas, first of all, I'd say this to us. Number one, we're made out of clay. We're nothing, you know, we're nobody. And He's the potter. He makes us like He wants to make us. He puts us where He wants to put us. He uses it. And we need not damage our lamp so that the light of our wife can shine and be bright. And you know what I love to see? I love to see wives and mothers whose eyes are bright with the love of God, who've got a good countenance. But you know something? If the light goes out in my wife's eyes, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. So I want to encourage you today. I'm glad that God remembers our frame, that we're but dust. But I'm telling you something. Don't damage the lamp so that there can be light. Second of all, and I like this, the lamp was not a fancy lamp. It was a plain old lamp. How many knows that Abraham Lincoln, how many has ever thought about Abraham? You've gotten so used to seeing Abraham Lincoln, you really don't think much about him. Did you know that he was really kind of an ugly man? He was absolutely mocked. He was called an ape. He was called Abe the ape. And one day somebody asked him about the fact that he was so ugly. And he said, now listen. He said, God must like plain folks because he made an awful lot of us. Yeah. You know something? God's not looking for somebody who's, some man who's Joe Cool. I'm going to be honest with you. God shines the brightest through a plain lamp. Somebody asked me, says, Reggie, why do you always wear blue coats and gray breeches? You know, I don't know. You know what I've told Karen a lot of times? I like to wear something nobody's paying no attention to what I'm wearing. You just so used to it, you don't think anything about it. Because if I get up here and put on ties that stick out like a bright light and going on a neon light all the time, you know what you'll think? Oh, he's got a different tie on this week. And I tell you something, let's just be plain men. And I want to say something to the men of this church. I appreciate you men. I don't hardly know any man in this church who goes around thinking he's the cock of the walk. Who's all worried about how sharp he looks, trying to be a ladies' man to everybody. I appreciate that. And can I tell you guys, can I encourage you? God doesn't use many fancy lamps. And if you're really going to be used every day, oh, you might be that lamp that's used once a year at Christmas and Easter. You come to church at Christmas and Easter. But I like them old lamps you can get out and use every day. Amen? You know, I've had guys say to me, Reggie, what do the guys wear? If I come up here to church, what's everybody wear? I like to kid them a little bit and say, why don't you just come and see? Yeah. But they'll say, well, I just wear Carhartts a lot. You know, I just wear breeches. I said, well, they have more guys wearing breeches than they are wearing ties. I can tell you that for sure. Now, I'm not one thinks you ought to just not be respectful of the house of God. But guys, let me just say this to you. Let's just have plain old haircuts. Let's just have plain old breeches. Let's just be plain people. Let's just be simple people, common people that God can use, that God can shine out of. Just common old plain. There's more to that, though. You know what that plain means? It means no pretense and no put on. You know, I could come up here and decorate this thing and put sparklies and flowers and stars and all that kind of stuff on it. Does it make a better lamp? You know, Larry, what's your last name? Jones. Larry Jones. Okay, Larry Jones. You know, I kind of like him. He's just who he is. It's just, I mean, it ain't anybody. Don't give you a take or leave it attitude. He's just who he is. And I like guys who are just who they are. And I want to encourage just men. Let's just be who we are. Let's just be who we are. We don't need a bunch of pretense. We don't need a bunch of fake spirituality. We don't need a bunch of put on about how super spiritual we are. That ain't going to do nobody no good. We don't need a bunch of... You know what Jesus said? He said, outwardly, he said, you make the cup beautiful, but inwardly full of dead men's bones. I'd just rather have a plain old guy, wouldn't you? How many of you ladies just a plain old guy who brushes his teeth and gargles every once in a while? I mean, you know. Amen? Now, I'm just saying this. The lamp was fragile, made out of clay. It wasn't usually fancy, just common. Wasn't any fakeness about it. You know what about Jesus Christ? It said that there was no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. Jesus Christ would have never made it in Hollywood. He still doesn't, amen. Then thirdly, let me say the lamp needed to be on a solid foundation. Anytime you ever seen a lamp, it has a good lamp has a good base. Or it'll fall over and roll over, and I'm telling you something, endanger everybody. And so, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Can I say to you today that every man needs the foundation of his existence being the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have Christ as our foundation, guys, we're sunk. We need a good foundation. We don't need to be flopping over and flipping over and rolling over and starting fires and spilling oil everywhere we're at. When God sets us down somewhere, we need to be stable. We need to be solid. We need to have a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our commands and instruction that we give to our family ought to be based upon the Word of God, not based upon our whims that we change every 2 or 3 days. The tone of our home and the atmosphere of our home ought to be based upon God's Word and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to just say something. There's a globe right here. Whew, that's hot. Husband ought to be hot. Amen. I'm talking about being on fire for God. Y'all picked up wrong on that. Huh? That light's heating it up. Amen. Amen. Well, there's some good ones coming out here today. Amen. What I was going to say, I believe I'll use this one here. This is not the light. This is part of the lamp. And what this does is keep the light from being blown around with every wind of doctrine. If you're not careful, comes along, oh, honey, we ought to run over here. Oh, honey, we ought to think about this. Oh, honey, did you hear that on the radio? Oh, honey. And I hate to tell you, ladies, something, but you best well let you better just pray for your husband to be on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and let him set the tone for the doctrine in your home. I'm going to tell you something. The worst junk I've ever seen in my life is women who think they're more spiritual than their husbands. I've done that spiritually. I'm telling you, some of you about fainted on me. Hey, listen, I've had words that I've dropped $100 dishes at an auction for. Anyway. Boy, I'm telling you, listen, I'm having a hard time. No, seriously. A lamp ought to have a globe to keep the winds of false doctrine from blowing in around them. So, watch this, so she can be steady. I'm telling you something, guys. If you don't get grounded and have a base and a foundation in your life, and you're deficient in leading your home spiritually, your wife is going to try to seek somebody somewhere to fill the gap for her spiritual needs. And in doing so, she'll be blown around with every wind of doctrine across the country, and the woods and so forth have met. And you can just say what you want to, but God intends for the husband to be the foundation of the spiritual leadership of the home and to keep the home from being blown around with every wind of doctrine. Now, a foundation has the greater responsibility, and the father has the greater responsibility. And the foundation is the support for the light, and the father ought to be the support for the wife. Let me say number three, the lamp is to be sturdy and practical and useful. We're not an ornament. And our faith and our lamphood in our home ought to be, we ought to be sturdy. Ought to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We ought to be practical. What we believe, we put into practice. If these things, you know, nobody heard you, they set up on shelves and stuff, you know, and that's what we've turned into is a bunch of lamps sitting on shelves. But a lamp is to be used. It's to be practical. It's to be used for practical purposes. And a lamp ought to be dependable. Boy, don't you hate a flashlight that won't work. I don't know how many of them we've got at the house. I just want to go, throw the thing out if it ain't going to work. I hate the lamp flashlights that don't work. I just don't like them. It ought to be dependable. When you light it, it ought to burn. A godly husband ought to provide the sturdiness, the dependability, the usefulness, and the practicality that ought to be in our homes. Christianity is practical. Not 1 week on, next week off. Steadfast, unmovable. Through good times, through bad times, through joy, and through sorrow. Number four, let me say a lamp ought to be clean. One of the priest's work was to clean the lamps. If you use lamps, they will get dirty. Now guys, listen. We need to get a hold of this. Every once in a while, you need the high priest to come and clean the lamp. The Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. And let me tell you what about coming to church is about. Coming to church is about letting the high priest clean the lamps. You say, Reggie, you're talking about cleaning things up. If you don't clean it, pretty soon it won't light properly, it won't burn properly, and it'll cloud the light that's going out. And husbands, I'm telling you something. God wants us to live clean lives. He wants us to live clean lives. The purpose of the lamp is destroyed and defeated when dirt and mire and dust and grit and grime gets on it. Jesus talked to me. He said, you make the outside clean, but he said inwardly, full of junk. The Bible said, be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. We ought to have clean minds. I told my wife last night, and Sarah, I just want to say, I want every computer on our property firewalled against pornography. Every computer on our property, I want it firewalled. I want it put in, and I don't mean Jack maybe. I want it done. I had a bad experience this week on the news. I was watching the news, and I clicked a news deal, and I mean that popped up the most low-down vile filth that I've ever looked at in my life. And I said, my God, what would happen if some of my kids hit this? And so I'm just going to tell you right now, you listen to me, I'm a preacher and I've been saved for 30 years. But I have to, you can call it what you want to, discipline, ask God for His grace, plead the blood. I have to work at keeping my mind clean. And just as this lamp needs cleaning, you and I need cleaning. Don't say you don't. You claim you don't need your mind cleaned up every once in a while. Oh, you're living in a different world than I'm living in. I need God to cleanse me. I need the Word to wash over my soul. I need the cleaning of preaching. Clean mind. We need clean motives. Why do we do what we do? Clean manners. A clean mouth. No cussing. No dirty jokes. No off-color junk. A clean lamp. I hope my boys can say they didn't grow up with a father who was cussing. I hope my boys can say they grew up with a father that tried to live clean. And the best we'll do, we need to be a clean lamp. It'll dull the light, fellas, if we don't keep a clean lamp. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, empty returns seven other spirits more wicked than the first one. We need 20 times the Bible speaks of unclean spirits or unclean devils in the Gospels. In Romans 1:21, it was uncleanness that God gave them up to. Unclean minds and unclean mouths. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Be ye holy, the Bible said. Be ye clean. Cleansing comes by the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Word cleanses us. Now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. According to the cleanness, and this just gets me, according to the cleanness of the husband will be the brightness and radiance of the wife. And no question about it. According to the cleanness of us men will be the brightness of our wives. May God give us grace, men, to live clean. Something about this lamp, further for men, have to fill it with oil. It will never make a light unless it's got oil in it. And that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Jason brought out this morning about the need, the absolute imperativeness of being filled with the Spirit. Now I want to say something just as plain as I can say it this morning, and I say this not to disrespect anybody or their beliefs, but you listen to me well this morning. Being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Being filled with the Spirit is not jumping up and down and waving your hands. And I'm not against raising your hands. I'm not against worshiping God. And I'm certainly for praising the Lord. But let me tell you, being filled with the Spirit means that you will be obedient to God and walk with God in the joy of the Lord. That you'll walk in the Spirit. It has nothing to do with babbling some kind of language. And here's the problem that makes me irritate the life out of me. Across this United States, men have watched on TV and been told on TV what the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is, and they know there's something wrong with what they're seeing, and it's turned them off, and they said, if I've got to do that to be filled with the Spirit, I don't think I want anything to do with it. But I would say this to you men. You know what? I just got through filling these two lamps with oil while y'all were reading the scripture a while ago, and I didn't make a big racket while I was doing it. Neither did this lamp make a big racket while it was being filled with the Spirit. It was a quiet pouring process that went on. And I would suggest to you this morning by the Word of God that to be filled with the Spirit is something that the Bible said, be ye filled. It's a continuous, never-ending thing that we have daily to be need of, to be continuously filled with His Spirit, that we could walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in how high you can jump. I want to know, do you live clean? That's the evidence of being, you know what? You can read Ephesians chapter 5 and just read right down through there the evidences of a Spirit-filled person. Number one, he have a song in his heart. Number two, be grateful. When's the last time you heard somebody preach right down through Ephesians 5, the evidences of be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, and then be thankful. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the Spirit of God. A Spirit-filled woman submits herself to her husband. A Spirit-filled man loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Spirit-filled kids obey their mom and dad. Spirit-filled workers, our employers and employees treat each other right. That's Spirit-filled. And so what I'm saying this, fellas, listen, be filled. There must be oil in the lamp. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. David wasn't just anointed one time. David was anointed with fresh oil. He was anointed three times. He was anointed. Let me tell you something. I think America's about had enough of this fakey revival business about being filled with the Spirit and then it don't change anybody's life. I'll tell you what turned me off, and that was when I first started preaching, the charismatic movement was strong. I'm telling you what, I mean, there were churches going, I mean, it was just a wild deal. And these women walk up to you in skin-tight Levi's, blouses cut down to the cleavage, walking up to you on high heels, in skin-tight Levi's, and their hair all frizzed out like what's her name on TV. Say, no, Brother Reggie, if you would just get filled with the Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Ghost, God could really use you. And when I went in charismatic churches and churches where all that stuff was going on, I'm telling you something, you thought if they just turned the lights down real low, you thought you was in a bar room the way most of the women was dressed. And then you got a bunch of these Spirit-filled preachers putting their hands on other men's wives up here while they're praying. I'll tell you what, you don't put your hands on my wife, I'll knock you Lulu. I know preachers ain't supposed to do that. And then they wonder why they've got men leaving the ministry right and left. That's nonsense. And don't tell me you're filled with the Spirit and put your hands on another man's wife. Remember that old plain lamp? Let's just be good old plain lamps. Be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you something. You can't have light without oil. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm just telling you, you know, what's wrong with just getting on our knees in the morning or out there where we're working or just bowing our head and saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, gives the Spirit unto them that ask him. Just ask God for his sweet Holy Spirit to fill and control your life. And let me say this further, that a lamp was made to be set on a higher plane. Now watch this. The higher a lamp goes, the more light it'll spread. The lower it goes, the less light it gives. You say, what's that talking about? I'm talking about high standards. That father needs to be set on a high plane. I'm pressing on. I want to ask the men to sing that first verse with me. Men and boys sing it. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you cannot have too high standards in your home. I want to tell you something. Make the standards high. I didn't say make them legalistic. I said make the standards high. Fathers, if you want your sons to do right yourself. Make your standards high. There's a lot of things I'd like to preach on, but if I do, we'll be here a long time. I'm just leave it at this and say that our standards need to be high. We need to be up where the light can shine its best. And then, fathers, here's something that needs to happen. I've learned my lesson. I burnt my finger there once. I'm not going to do it again. I'll use this one here. Every once in a while, you and I are going to need our wick trimmed. That high priest would come in there and trim that off. The Bible said if you be without chastisement, you're not his. God's going to trim our lamps, boys. We're going to burn. We're going to burn. Maybe we'll be a lamp there and we'll think, man, we're doing real good. And God says all of a sudden, you know what? You need your lamp trimmed. How many's had your lamp trimmed? God trimmed you. Sometimes, guys, don't despise it when God trims your lamp. He's just doing it so your light can shine brighter. And so your wife can have greater brightness in her life. The lamp, darker the night, the greater need is for light. If there's ever been a time when our children need bright lights, and godly fathers and mothers, it's now. You know, it was a light that led the wise men to Christ. And it's still a light that leads other men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've talked about you men, and I'm going very briefly because the ladies are so wonderful in here, they need very little preaching. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You'd have noticed, what's this? That's a lot of me. What a smoke. You know what really makes a good light? It's just that nice, steady flame. You ever see these here 30-day wonders? Well, they're going to show everybody how to live the Christian life. I mean, I've seen it, man. I've seen them that. Well, they're going to burn the world up, you know. 30 days later, you see them, they're sitting at a bar. What happened? Somebody said something to me. Got offended. You know what we need? Just an old, good, steady flame. I think we ought to get fired up for God. Don't get me wrong. If you ain't careful, that's what will happen to you right there. I want to thank you people that have burned steady for the Lord the last 30 years. Mr. Gase, I'll think of you when I look at that. Just steady, steady flame. No big to do, just steady flame. Ladies, light illuminates. If you're going to illuminate your children to God, you're going to have a light like that. You're going to have a light. Man, we got to be the lamp for her so she can light. Light is fragile. Just a little. I take that globe off. If you ain't careful, you can put the light of your wife out real quick. Be careful how you handle your wife. This globe is like the spirit of a husband. I don't know much about it, but I want you to take your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter. What I say don't count. What God says counts everything. 1 Peter chapter 3. While you're turning there, I want to say this, that neither one of these works without the other. That's one thing I appreciate about that movie, Courageous. It talked about the fact that so many children, because of the what's called dysfunctional homes, you know, they have all this stuff. Kids need this. And one's the wife, one's the mother, and the other's the husband, father. I'm going to show you ladies here how you can be light. Chapter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. As if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Watch this. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You know what that means? That means godly will live in every way you look at her. The way she speaks. The way she communicates. The way she dresses. The way her attitude. Chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. That's what the world does. They're all worried about that. They want to be real, real fancy. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. And it goes on down through there. But I want to tell you, ladies, this, and I'm just going to tell you from my perspective of life. I know what the Bible says, and it's true whether I understand or not. But I will tell you that a woman with a meek and a quiet spirit is a woman who shines for God. Meek and a quiet spirit. Doesn't have to say something about everything. Doesn't try to usurp her husband's spiritual leadership. Just a steady flame. When it's all done and said, ladies, your kids is going to watch that steady flame. Watch for that steady flame. That's what they're watching for. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I've kind of bounced around here and there and everywhere, but I'm still glad I preached it. I've enjoyed preaching it. And I'm not sorry that I've preached it. I hope it'll help you and encourage you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Here's the foundation. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's your foundation. And here's the light. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And it goes on and talks about the reason that God does that. What I want to say to you ladies is this. First of all, you'll never be more light than your husband's. And I just pray that us husbands will be the light we ought to be to you, or the lamp that we ought to be to you, that we'll have the fuel in our lives and our hearts so that our wives can be radiant, joyful. I want to ask you kids a question. I want you to raise your hands now real high. No, don't raise your hands. Please don't raise your hands. Now, first of all, but I want you to think about this, kids. Would you say that your dad has been a lamp? Would you say that your dad has been a lamp? Would you say, how has your dad's lamp affected the light of your mother? And I'm not trying to put you in a down mood. I'm just trying to make us think. You know, if I can't get help at church, why come? If I can't get challenged, why come? And I thought about this message and I, you know, wrestled around here a bit and I thought, no, yeah, Reggie, you've messed up. There's a lot of things you could have done better. But I'm glad for whatever God has done in our lives. And I'm glad that it's the Holy Spirit within us, that fuel that makes that light. And you kids in this church, let me listen to me well. If you've got a father that's a lamp and you've got a mother that's a light, you've got the world by the tail. You are a rich kid. Don't ever underestimate what you have. If you've got a father who loves the Lord, who's founded on the Lord, who's filled with the Spirit, who's just a plain old daddy, recognizing that he is an earthly clay vessel and trying to be a good lamp in your home. Don't underestimate the value of a mother and a father who's working together to give you some light to head out into this world. Boy, what a blessing that your father can be a lamp and your mother can be your light. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful heritage to give your children. I hope you'll always remember this. I tell you what I think we ought to do. This, Lydia, is let's stand and go home. What do you think? Think we ought to? Would y'all forgive me for not hollering at you? I meant to holler at you, I just didn't. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, we need you. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful illustrations in the Bible that you give us that we can look at to see not just what we ought to be, but how we can be what we ought to be. I pray, Lord, today for the husbands and the men, the husbands-to-be, that are not today husbands, but will be. Not fathers today, but will be fathers. Lord, that you'll help them to be preparing the lamp. Lord, for that day when you strike the fire. And Lord, that that home and that marriage can be light into the world. Well, the truth about it is, people are looking at our marriages and our homes and our families to see if there's anything to our faith, if there's any reality to it. Lord, when I hear about these marriages, 4 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years and 40 years and 67 years, Lord, thank you for that light of that lamp and that light. I just pray, God, that you would help us to just be plain old folks who's got the Spirit of God in us, founded, Lord, available for you to use. God, help us husbands be what we ought to be. Help the wives, Lord, to burn pure and steady and be a light for their children to see long after they're gone. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and the gentleness and the rest of soul that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. I'd ask you, Lord, to bless these families. Keep these marriages together. Help our young people, Lord, not to do right because they're told to necessarily, because they want to. Give them something in their heart, Lord, that's beyond commands and instruction and discipline. Lord, I pray that you'll raise up lights out of this congregation so that this church can be the light it ought to be in this community. Lord, I pray help us to not do things that take our light away. God, give them a good afternoon. Give them a good day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.